Hello and welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. A very warm welcome to today's show. We hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as you have enjoyed all the previous ones. The topic for today's discussion is the subject of marriage and family in the context of the Brahma Kumaris. We have with us in the studio today one BK Denise. She's been with the Brahma Kumaris for 40 years. My name is Magla Pillay. I'm a judicial officer from South Africa. And I've got the pleasure of interviewing Sister Denise today. Thank you, Sister Denise, and welcome.
Thank you.
What is the Brahma Kumari attitude towards marriage and family?
You know, I have here this badge. I don't know if it can be visible. It shows the deities Lakshmi and Narayan. And below, which is very small, you probably can't see it, but there's a picture of the young Krishna and Radha. And so this badge represents the aim of Raja Yoga, which means a completely purified family. So Lakshmi and Narayan are standing next to each other, complementary. She's not several paces behind him or, you know, massaging his feet or bowing or anything like that. They're really standing side by side in perfect equilibrium and complementing with each other. And the children grow into such people. So therefore, Brahma Kumaris is all about taking individuals and bringing them to a perfect balance internally. And so balance in an individual is very complex. So we also, in Brahma Kumaris, very much subscribe to the idea of continuity. The soul is eternal, immortal. I am a soul, and this birth that I am in right now is for the purpose of developing all these different balances within. And so we will use this birth especially for that, looking at the entire cycle of our many, many births.
Would you say that a Brahma Kumari lifestyle is one of sacrifice? And in context of this question, sacrifice of your own family in order to create this world or lifestyle that you just spoke of?
Everyone, whenever they come in contact with Brahma Kumaris and they start to learn the methods of Raja Yoga and so on, each and every person is in some kind of context and they are at a particular age. When I came to Brahma Kumaris, I was 23. I'd completed my education and I had just started a career in media. I was working with the BBC in London and later on with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in television news. So right at the beginning of, that adult life. And at the same time, I was very much of a seeker after an understanding of what's happening in the world, because I had many questions about the way the world is going, what people are doing, how they're treating each other, and so on. So I was very much at a point where I could decide. Being a person, I had high ideals, definitely, for myself and for the world, and also I thought that through social action, through political action, maybe one could make a difference in the world. But once I started to understand about spirituality and study with the Brahma Kumaris, then I changed my mind and I thought, you know, there's plenty of corruption, plenty of human weaknesses in the world of social action and politics, but maybe the spiritual way is better. So I decided to do that. And so it was possible for me because of the age I was and because I had absolute freedom. No one was dictating to me how I should lead my life. And so I could decide for myself. There are people in that situation. There are other people who are not in that situation. You get many people, they're already married, they already have young children, they're maybe at the beginning of their life like that. Or you get other people who are in their 40s, their 50s, they're at a point where they've done all the things that you would need to do in terms of career, in terms of raising a family, and they're thinking about, well, you know, how do I give an added dimension to my life as I move towards the older years, you see? So it really depends at which point a person comes in. And then they see, well, here is my situation. These are my responsibilities. These are my duties. How am I going to make a marriage between my life at this point and my spirituality? So I think each person has to do that individually. And in Brahma Kumaris, we lay it out. Here are the ways that you could do this. Look inside yourself and see, you know, what kind of intensity of spiritual practice do you feel that you're ready for, that you are interested in, you know, and we find that people are very, very individual, and the person who will be giving them the teachings of Yoga will help them to work out a sustainable rate of spiritual practice, and I think that works very well.
Can one be married with three children and be a Brahma Kumari or a Kumar? Is it possible to lead a successful family life and a successful spiritual life?
No, my mother did.
Oh, she did, didn't she?
Well, yes, because myself, my two brothers, and she also became a Brahma Kumari. And in my family, I was the first one. One of my brothers is very active in Brahma Kumaris. The other one isn't. His daughter is. My mother is. My father wasn't. He's now deceased. So, you know, in different families, and then when you get into the cousins and other relatives, you have a few people who say, yeah, this is good for me, and other people who say, no, no, I don't want to, you know, make my life that much spiritual. I'm happy in a more materialistic world. So it's very, very individual choice. But one thing that's interesting is that in terms of my family and friends, they all know what the knowledge is, they know what the practice is, so that any time when they want to decide to do it, they always can, if not, you see. So I think our aim is to really demonstrate it and make it available, and then people take it to the extent they want, when they want, at whatever point in their life it seems to be the right thing to do. And you know, there are many programs we have where we will take up small areas of the information and expand upon it for people who may not want to get into the full practice, but they really want to know how to do a bit of meditation. They really want to know how to manage anger, for example, how to have a bit more self-esteem. So you can take little bits, nothing wrong with that. You don't have to take the whole department store.
One of the criticisms that has reached Brahma Kumaris is that that if somebody who is married decides to become a Brahma Kumar or Kumari, this automatically means the breaking up of the marriage, the family life. What would be your response to that? And firstly, is that true? And if not, why not? Or if yes, how yes?
Well, I think that in society, one of the problems that's happening more and more is broken marriages. And there are kind of epidemic levels of domestic violence. It's very difficult for people, because of their spiritual depletion, to tolerate each other. And sometimes you get a person who's really in a bad marriage and enduring it, and then they come into, they start meditating, and they realize that, you know, it isn't a good marriage, and maybe this is a time when we go our separate ways. And sometimes people will decide that, the couples will decide that they're not compatible, and they go their separate ways. But then other people in the society may say, oh, well, this is because of Brahma Kumaris. But I think actually each person decides for themselves how they're going to handle their personal situation. And it is the case that many people have a lot of difficulties with relationships, and it may be, you know, even people living together, even people living with their parents, or whatever kind of situation a person has. And when a person starts to practice the practices of Brahma Kumaris, you know, you start meditating, you start being vegetarian, you start being interested more and more in spiritual things, that may intensify your differences, and you may decide to separate.
And if he or she does not have a problem with BK lifestyle, then does that mean you can have a happy marriage and a happy BK life?
Oh, there's many, many have a happy marriage and a happy BK life. And some people, one of the partners is in BK, the other one isn't, but they cooperate with each other. And that's very, very nice, you see, because everybody has their rights.
If you look at the population of the Brahma Kumaris, which is 1 million globally, what percentage are married? Both partners are in the BK family.
I think that the largest number of people who are in Brahma Kumaris are married. There's a large number of people in Brahma Kumaris who are married. There's also a large number of people who are, one partner is in Brahma Kumaris and the other one is not, but they're cooperative, so they don't stand in the way of their partner's activities to do with the Brahma Kumaris. There are some people who experience a struggle, and this is because we say of attachment. So when a person is financially, emotionally, socially, etc., dependent on another person, and then there's a struggle between, they want to be doing their spirituality, but then they don't, and it's sort of a foot in two boats. And this is really something which we will say, well, that person really needs, in their own time, at home or wherever, they need to intensify their spiritual power. And of course you can meditate anywhere, mm-hmm, at any time, and everybody, once they begin to meditate, they will experience resistance. This is normal, because
what do you mean by resistance?
Well, you make changes in your life, you start to be spiritual from being more and more materialistic, and you start to bend your energy over here, then it was going over here, then the aspect of this side is going to say, wait a minute, we're going this way. And you say, no, we changed our direction, we're going this way. And so you have to deal with that, because everyone's life has a momentum. And so, you know, there are some people who are morning people, and so they wake up very early in the morning anyway, but there are some people who are night people, you know, and they would go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning instead of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So they will have a hard time resetting their momentum. So there is that.
There are a number of practicing, fully fledged, committed community members of the Brahma Kumaris who are married, who have children. Do they, is it a practice of the Brahma Kumaris for them to insist that their children follow this lifestyle, or
no? We have actually a very important awareness of child protection, and we have a very clear child protection policy. We would not actually give the course in meditation to anyone under the age of 18 without the parents present. Anyway, spirituality is something that you do in later years, not as a child. But of course, if you have a family where the parents decide that they want to lead this lifestyle, then the children will find themselves eating vegetarian food, and they may say, well, we want to have hamburger. And then the parents will say, you know, maybe you go and have your hamburger outside, but we want to have a vegetarian house, so that the child, you know, really sees the difference between an environment where you are vegetarian and you have your choices. But I think it's very intelligent if the parents do expose the child to what they're doing. They don't need to hide it. They can talk about it. And when it's very young children, they always want to do what their parents do anyway. But as they get older, as they come into their teens, they come under influence of their peers at school and so on, so they generally want to be part of the mainstream and work with ease with their peers, and so then they generally do that. We do have actually a youth, like youth activities, and there the children of parents who are BKs meet other children with parents of BKs, and they very often enjoy to create their friendships and engage in activities and so on that are kind of Brahma Kumari oriented, and that's a very nice thing. But at any point in the child's life, they have to be free to do this or not do this. That's very important.
If somebody is been a Brahma Kumar for 10 years or 15 years, and on one fine day, due to his good fortune or otherwise, he meets someone and decides, ah, that's the one I've been waiting for.
That's right.
Can he go and go forth and multiply, as it were, and live happily ever after in wedded bliss, and be a BK? Or
well, there are many people who do this, and they decide they want to be in family life, they want to continue practicing the Brahma Kumaris practices, or they may not, or they may come back afterwards. There's every possible way that you can do it. But, you know, what I would like to say is nobody is under any obligation. You know, we are free to meditate right now or not. We are encouraged to check, are you soul conscious? Are you in remembrance? Are you aware of who you are? And of course, it's a very subtle practice, so, you know, you go in and out of it anyway. Even if you're following all the practices, it's a mental positioning. And so a person is on a long pilgrimage of a life, which can go on for 70, 80, 90 years. And what happens to you in the course of your life, you have karmic accounts, you go through things, you become, some periods you want to be more spiritual, some periods less spiritual. It's all full of variations. And, you know, we consider everyone who says, yes, I am a Brahma Kumar or I am a Brahma Kumari, they're a family member. And how their life turns out and whatnot, we will support, but you can't constrain. That would be a violation of their rights.
It may not be said verbally, but would the person who comes to the person running the particular Brahma Kumari center and say, I've met the one, I want to go forth and live in wedded bliss, would there not be censure of any sort whatsoever?
No, you can't do that because it doesn't make any sense. If somebody comes, it means there's trust. And it means they want your blessings. They may want to talk about it. It's very important to have a very good, fluid relationship because, you know, with those people who are maybe newer than you in the practice, or you may be acting as the teacher, you also need to be a friend to them, a mentor to them, so that they feel that if they have something going on, they can talk about it. And if they decide, yeah, this is what we want to do, we always maintain the relationship. You can't punish people. That's not our right, and there's no point. Why would you do that?
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the end of today's show. Very interesting, don't you think? For those of you who are wondering whether it's possible to lead the life of a Brahma Kumar and Kumari whilst being married, whilst having a partner, since marriage has become an increasingly outdated institution, whilst having a partner or not, or whether as a practicing BK, you then meet someone and decide to get married, there you have your answers from Sister Denise. We thank Sister Denise for her sharings today, and we hope to see viewers soon. Thank you and good day.